We have been blessed by stories from people within our congregation. And by stories, I mean their life stories, as we ask some important questions like, what does a home where all belong mean to you? How is a home where all belong cared for you? Why do you want to extend this home where all belong to other people? And this morning, I'm very grateful to have Bill and Nancy Williams with us. Good to see you guys this morning, and thank you for making the time and putting the effort in. I know it is not as easy as it used to be for you to get out on days where there's ice and weather and so much to do. So we're appreciative. For those of you who may not know, the Williamses have been a part of our congregation for a number of years now, but just about a year ago now, Bill was hit by a car on Sheridan as he was crossing the street with a walk sign. And life has been different. And so our conversation today includes a little bit of life before the accident and a little bit of life after the accident, because it turns out it's all life. So, Bill and Nancy, what does building a home where all belong mean to you guys?
This really became something I've been thinking about for a really long time, but didn't really know it. Before the accident and when we were looking for churches, I was remembering some of the times we, as a couple, looked for churches and then ended up going, why are we here? And not really feeling welcome, even though some of these churches we've been members for a really long time. So church was an obligation. Church wasn't something I looked to for solace and help, but that's all different now. From the very first visit, I liked what was going on here. We were in the basement because it was too hot to be here. And it was movie month. And the movie was The Sting, one of my favorites. So Brad and the pianist came dressed in clothes appropriate to the movie, and I thought, I'm really going to like this. And as a longtime teacher, I always look for novel ways to deliver a message to my students, and Brad picked my interest. So he's telling the story of the movie, and I'm sitting there in the back going, how is he going to make this a religious moment for us?
That question gets asked a lot of me.
And I thought, he's not going to do this. It's just not going to work. But lo and behold, he did it. And at the end of the sermon, I said, this is where I belong. As I looked at the number, I looked at all of you and how you related to each other, the vibrant children's mission, group that we have here are all signs of good health and caring, and that was really important to me. Yeah. And sermons that resonated with me, I've not had that experience very long. I'm 71 years old. I should be able to have a whole basket full of those, and I don't, at least not until I came here.
So Nancy, how about you? What does a home where all belong mean for you?
I'm going to apologize first. I'm sorry.
It's that time
Hopefully
of year.
You can understand my somewhat raspy voice, but one of the things that really, really resonated with me is in my heart, I knew that the God that I believed in, the church that I wanted to attend, was a place where everyone was welcome, and it was a place where I felt comfortable, but I wanted everybody else to be comfortable. And in my heart, I knew that no one should be excluded ever. And yet, I really didn't have the words to put to that, or I didn't have a phrase to say what that meant. And now I have one. It's right here, the place where all belong. So that so resonated with me.
Well, I wonder, as not only has that resonated with you, but the ways it might have cared for you, and especially, I think, before the accident, right? Because I would hope that a home where all belong was caring for you before and not just after. What does that look like?
Before the accident, it was being active in church. I was a member of the finance committee. When Brad looked at, in our meeting with him before we joined, I think he saw finance committee that I'd done in a former life. And all of a sudden, I was on the finance committee. And all of a sudden, I was chairing the finance committee. But it's that open, and the finance committee, I know finance is boring for most of us, but the group of people in that room just lit my heart. We had so much fun talking about such boring but important things. So it's that and the Palm Sunday breakfast and doing chores around the church, walking by and looking at Brad standing on the ladder, hanging a banner and saying, "What are you doing up there? Let me hold the ladder." So that was before the accident. And we made good friends, the friends that have turned out to be those who have stood up for us and helped us in our time of need. After the accident, Brad came to visit, I don't know how many times. I was at Craig Hospital for 4 months and in St. Anthony's. He was there when I was brought in to the hospital for my surgeries, and my family really depended on him. Of course, I was out. But all of that, people stepping up, people we don't know. We were in the parking lot getting me out of the car, and a church member came up and said, "Can I help?" Almost every Sunday, somebody different says that. And thank you all for thinking about that. But Brad's advice in one of his visits, he said, "Put your life in Jesus' hands." And I thought, I really don't know how to do that. And I really don't know what that would look like if I did and things worked out that way. But I took that seriously. And now as I lay in bed at night, stressing may be an overstatement, but you know, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and not being able to get back to sleep and thinking, I don't need to worry about that tomorrow because Jesus will take care of it. All of a sudden my body, this sounds almost like I'm writing a movie script. My body relaxes and I go back to sleep. And it's that advice from what Brad gave to me. And I better understand the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. On January 19th, in the hospital, I could not move my arms or my hands. I was legally quadriplegic. Now look at me. And it's the prayers, and I know you're praying for me, that allows me to concentrate on getting better. And I could almost walk now. I'm getting really, really close. But it's the support of your prayers and the support of my family who has made all of that possible.
And Bill, I wonder if you would take a moment and tell us a little bit about what it was like your first Sunday back.
That was amazing. I want to step back to Nancy's first Sunday back when I was still in the hospital. And Brad said, "Welcome home." And I thought, that's a powerful message. I'm weeping too. we came to a church and everybody that, all of you who were praying for me and people I really don't know very well came up and the touch therapy has become really important to me and I really didn't like that before. But, you know, touching the person's shoulder when you talk is very, very powerful. And I learned that at Craig. But I think we were here for an extra hour just talking to friends and people who have supported us in so many ways. So it's those kinds of things that they're not planned. They happen serendipitously. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that word out quite. But it's just who we are, and that's important to me.
Mm-hmm. And Nancy, what does it look like to extend this home where all belong to other people? What stirs that within you?
I think that many people know and have heard me say this before, that the people in the church, as Bill has said, have been so important to us before the accident as we got involved. He did the finance committee. I did the missions or faith in action committee. But after the accident, it just became so apparent that all the wonderful friends that we had met meant something. But in terms of extension, what you may have heard me say before is I extend that to my family, my daughter, my grandchildren, even my son-in-law who's been here a couple of times. I so wanted them to have a home where they belong. And as I say, do they come every single Sunday? No, they don't. But when they do, they are welcomed, they are greeted, they are made to feel a part of the church. And I still remember the Sunday that Brad offered the bread of communion to my granddaughter and said to her, this is to remind you that Jesus loves you. And she said, I know. And it's just that kind of spreading that. And she wants to come back, and they enjoy coming. And that's been so important to me.
Well, thank you both so much for taking a moment with us to share some of your experience and story, for the continued relationship. And, of course, know the prayers continue.
Thank you
guys so much. We've been very blessed by stories like Bill and Nancy's, or Paul last week, or Max and Dan the week before, and Molly the week before that. I'm very grateful for those who are willing to come and share a little bit and offer us some perspective on what this place has meant for them. I'm very grateful for their willingness to speak so publicly about such personal experiences and feelings. And one of the reasons I'm grateful for that is because for more than 6 years, I have heard stories like this day in and day out. I mean, I've always wished there was a way for you all to hear each of the stories that are told to me on your behalf. And I phrase it that way intentionally because as your pastor, every time I hear a story of someone being welcomed, of someone growing in hope and faith, of someone finding their place or recognizing their capacity to change the world, every time I hear one of these stories, I recognize that I am blessed to hear that story because in that moment, I am representing all of you who have made that possible. One of the great joys of my ministry is listening to and being present to the life stories that make this community what it is, and I'm grateful. And when our congregation and its leadership asked over the last few months that beautiful classic prayer, "Be thou my vision," as we invited God to tell us what was next, it became very clear that stories like we've heard, the stories of life, needed to be shared more often. And I hope thus far you've been able to hear from a voice other than my own the impact of God's love through this place. I think it's so wonderful to hear it from other people and other places. And I hope that you've been able to hear it in yourself as well. It is my deep desire that we will all take the time to consider our own stories, to look closely at our lives and discover where God is active through this home where all belong. Because your story matters. I mean, I would love to hear what a home where all belong means to you. It is my hope as well that we all want to hear one another's stories. And think about the person two seats down and two seats over from you. They've got a story. Don't you want to know what it is? Oh, Dixie, you just looked to see who that was. Thank you. But think about that. There are stories of life that we can hear from one another. And perhaps at lunch today, or maybe through an email or a note, maybe in our next round of journey groups, we'll have a chance in small conversations to share these stories with each other more often. Because it's these stories that are present in our midst that carry us and encourage us forward in God's call. I'm also reminded that there are some places where stories might be lacking, where some people might name they have yet to feel at home, or have yet to experience that deep sense of belonging. And we have a responsibility to continue the work that has been begun in this place. Because building a home where all belong is what we must strive for every day. It's not a status that is earned and then held indefinitely. It's not like some little merit badge. You're like, oh yeah, I did this once. It's not some little award we put on the wall. We're like, oh yeah, a few years ago we totally did that thing and people felt good. Building a home where all belong is a calling. It's a calling that we must choose to seek every moment of every day. It is a constant choice that we are making as we seek to align this congregation with the very will of God. This congregation's call is to put words and action behind something that, as Nancy pointed out, is written into the very fiber of our being as people. I'm very grateful for your reflection on that sense of knowing this is what things were, but wanting to find a place to experience it. Deep in the core of what it means to be human, I believe there is a sense, a spark, an intuition that love acceptance, justice, and hope resonate with the divine will of our Creator. That we know that, and it's why we long for it. It's why our hearts ache for it when it is lacking. But it's also where we find joy and gratitude when it's experienced. That when we feel loved, when we recognize that all God's people are accepted, when we join together in seeking justice, when we're encouraged by hope, that in those moments we see that the prayer has been fulfilled, that God's kingdom has come and God's will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. Nancy, I appreciate your reflection that you found in this place something you knew to be true in your heart, but longed to experience and put words to. There's something about that in our hearts, just like Nancy's, where we might seek to both receive and give, to be welcomed without condition and be a part of welcoming others the same way. This longing is both. In a home where all belong, we are meant to both feel welcomed and offer welcome. Bill and Nancy, your story was such a strong reminder to me of how, as a congregation, we must nurture internally while also serving externally. As we build a home where all belong, growing into God's vision for this congregation, we do so for those who need it just as much as we do. But hear it this way also. We need it just as much as those we do it for. While we look upon a neighborhood and world with a desire to offer love and acceptance and justice and hope to those who may not experience it, we all at the same time are living lives that desire and deserve it as well. The divine call to share God's love and grace with the world includes us, that we would experience it too. Our scripture invites us to see it this way. Our scripture in Ephesians, our building a home where all belong verse, invites us first to feel secure and at home in God's love. And then we find our place in what God is building, so that we are surrounded and upheld in our very being while we do so for others. Hear this invitation in Ephesians. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders, for you belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. God is using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what God is building. God used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation, and now God is using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. It's taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. You are invited to feel secure and at home in God's love while we build this home where all belong. Bill shared a little bit about his experience of returning to Highlands after months away. How after, unfathomable trauma, after fighting for his life, after days and weeks and months of exhausting effort, when he and Nancy crossed the threshold of this home where all belong, they were surrounded by a community of people who wanted nothing more than to share the joy and gratitude experienced by your existence, by your persistence, by your presence. And Bill and Nancy, we are joyful, and we are grateful for your existence, and your perseverance, and your presence. And I pray that as a community, we would offer such greeting to everyone we encounter. That we would offer joy and gratitude at every single life for their existence, for their perseverance, for them being present as they truly are, because that is a courageous and noble act. Existing and persevering and being present in this world is a noble and courageous thing. And it is a noble and courageous act being carried out by each and every life we encounter. And that is what we will hear if we truly listen to someone's life story. In fact, my new measure of a home where all belong and what that truly is that every person might experience the feeling Bill spoke of upon his return. that in a home where all belong, every person would authentically experience joy and gratitude for their existence, for their perseverance, and for their presence. That every person who encounters our congregation would feel secure and at home in God's love because of the welcome, the invitation, and the support they receive here. And that we would do so from a sense of joyful gratitude for who they are, for who we are, and for what God is doing through us. And so I pray. I pray that joy and gratitude would guide us as we offer what we have, what we do, and even more who we are. I pray that joy and gratitude would stir our hearts to ask the transformational question, hey God, what do you seek to do through me to build this home where all belong? And I give thanks for all of the ways God has and is and will continue to answer those prayers through each and every one of us. Amen.